Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and you are listening to the web version of STEM Spots. With me in the studio today is Dr. Rao Khan, who's an associate professor in the School of Medicine at Wash University of St. Louis. Thanks for stopping by, Rao.
Thank you for having me here.
Now, Rao, you are the director of the graduate program in the medical physics department at WashU. Can you talk about, broadly, what is medical physics?
Medical physics is practiced in different locations, different places. Medical physics in hospital mainly involves diagnostic physics as well as therapeutic physics. Everyone has heard about therapeutic physics because there are now plenty of cancer centers who provide radiation treatment, and at least in every single center, whether that is academic center or that is a rural center for radiation treatment of cancer, you would, if you are a cancer patient, you would encounter, in addition to doctor, a PhD or master's in medical physics who would be taking care of your treatment in the cancer center. So that's the therapeutic aspect of medical physics, where most of the medical physicists are employed. In addition, the medical physicists are also employed as imaging physicists, where they provide quality assurance services for all these sophisticated technological devices, like from ultrasound to magnetic resonance imaging, pulse sequencing, and the image quality, to make sure that the picture they are taking of an individual is of the high quality and there are no artifacts. Artifacts mean there are no objects which should not be there coming from any other external noise from in the device. So this is the imaging aspect of the medical physics. In nuclear medicine aspect of the medical physics, it is again another sub-branch of physics, medical physics, where radioactivity is injected as a drug inside the body so that it can blast the tumor cells and give tumor control, local control, or cure you of disease. So these are three broader categories. In addition, physicists are also working in FDA, regulatory authorities, hospitals, medical physicists. There are medical physics department who provide cutting-edge research, such as in our department.
So let's get back and talk about each of these a little bit. So the first one was essentially cancer treatment, therapeutic cancer treatment, which you can get attain at many cancer centers that usually are in any town that's above something like 50 to 100,000 people in the U.S. now. But when people hear that, and you mentioned the word radiation, talk about what that means, because in this country, when people hear radiation, they think nuclear radiation. They think radioactivity. That's what people usually think. But in this particular case, the primary method of treatment is slightly different from that. So talk about what kind of instrumentation is primarily used and what kind of treatment you're actually getting.
So when someone hears about radiation, it is, in fact, started off the X-rays. Like 1895, the X-rays were discovered by Röntgen. So anyway, so these are the X-rays. It started off X-rays. But X-rays are not very highly energetic, not very powerful to provide what we call the equivalent of a dose in radiation therapy. So they cannot provide that high dose without causing damage to normal cells. So in any kind of radiation treatment, there is some kind of what we call collateral damage to normal cells. So simple X-rays are low energy. They cannot provide necessary dose to the tumor. So then time passed and radioactivity was discovered and there were radioactive sources. They also emit similar kind of radiation. They are high energy, again, in physics we call electromagnetic radiation, gammas. So in fact, people think that these are gammas. They are not wrong, because cobalt-60, cesium-137, and other isotopes were used for a long time as part of radiation treatment. And in most of the third world, they are still a viable way of treating patient with radiation. However, time passed. We still use those radioactive sources for treatment of, for example, when we implant, we put the radioactivity right inside the tumor.
Then it has to be a radioactive source.
Then it has to be a radioactive source 99% of the time, even though now there are, like, science and technology is really, really progressed. Now there are miniature X-ray sources which can go through the body cavities, and instead of radioactive source, you can just send the small miniature X-ray source, and that can also do that kind of irradiation. So brachytherapy, 99% is radioactive source-based still. However, in some places you would hear electronic brachytherapy. So these are all different jargons used in our disciplines. So that's where ionizing radiation coming from as a result of gammas and all this kind of thing that we hear in physics, they are used to treat the patient. But fast forward, Second World War, radar was introduced. It was used for Allied missions. And then all that technology translated into electron accelerations. Okay, so I'm becoming a little bit technical.
No, that's fine. So you basically invented a gigantic device that can create X-rays, and it doesn't require radioactivity to get these X-rays.
Exactly. So these electrons are then accelerated with the help of the microwave. This is same or quite similar to your microwave oven. So electron rides on top of or surfs on top of the electromagnetic wave and get very fast. And from those electrons, we produce very high energetic electromagnetic radiation or radiation simply. So in fact, we have transitioned from simple X-rays, which we still use for imaging purpose because they are pretty good.
If you want to take a picture of somebody.
Yes, exactly. Right. So, and simple X-ray, CT machine, your computed tomograph is still X-ray tube, X-ray machine, which is being used. X-ray was invented 1895.
Right.
Again, I'm reminding you. So same advanced imaging, computer technology, reconstruction, it gives you a three-dimensional picture of the whole body. So that's the CT. So all this process involved physics intensively. So now we are at this stage where we have these high-energy X-rays that I just mentioned are accelerated with the microwaves, and they are millions of electron volt, means electron volt, and these are the physics.
This is high energy stuff.
Very, very high energy stuff. And this stuff was, in fact, started off the physics laboratories, and all that thing has translated on to a cancer clinic. Even in your village, small town, means you have all these devices, at least in the United States and Canada.
Now let's ask another question. So of course you mentioned collateral damage. So now you've got this beam of high energy X-rays that need to go and hit a tumor, but the tumor's buried in the body and you don't want to damage cells. So talk about the technique by which you essentially use multi-beams in some sense to actually concentrate the X-rays, because there's got to be some, you don't want any single pass of the X-rays going through the body to damage cells. So what is it that you do to actually somehow isolate dosages in an actual piece of bad tissue, which would be the tumor?
What we call the additive effect. So just like you mentioned.
Sorry. Don't worry, he can get it out.
So what we call is the additive effect. Just like you mentioned that radiation beams from different directions. We don't rely on one single radiation beam or the high energy X-ray beam. So radiation beam from different directions come together, overlap in a certain region, which is tumor. So when they meet on the tumor, because they are combining, their impact is enhanced as many times. So tumor gets the highest dose, and surrounding tissue, normal tissue, or what we technically call organs at risk, they get lower dose. So that's how we try to minimize the dose as low as possible. In addition to that, in addition to direction, now, because of computer-controlled machines and computer-controlled devices, we can change the what we call intensity of the radiation coming from one particular direction. So if, just imagine you are looking at the tumor, we call it beam eye view or your eye view. So in your eye view, if you look at the tumor, you would see that tumor is not directly available to you. In fact, there are organ at risk, which is behind it. So what you would do, you would try to avoid that particular area of the X-ray beam, which would go through the normal tissue, which is very, very sensitive. So this technique where you can change the intensity of the radiation from every particular angle is called intensity modulated radiation therapy, IMRT. I think this is quite common. So all the cancer patients, if you go to cancer hospital, you would know they are practicing IMRT. So IMRT would be
So that's fascinating. So let's think about this for a second. You have things that are out in the field that have been tested effectively, and now we'll talk more in a little bit about how medical physicists in the field in clinics are going to then take care of these instruments. Where would a technique like that, when you change and tweak the methodology so that you can modify intensities now, where is that kind of work happening? So is that something that's done in a research hospital? Are people doing that in programs like your own where they're coming up with new ideas and new techniques and investigating those techniques? Where would that happen?
All these things have evolved out of major centers. Like there are big academic centers where physicists, in addition to physicists like us, in addition to doing the clinical responsibility, clinical job, they also have students and young investigators who are working, focusing on ways to improve the treatment. So, for example, people with physics and computer science background together can work and do what we call mathematical optimization so that you can optimize your treatment. You can provide very high dose to the tumor while at the same time you can spare the normal organ, or technically we call organ at risk. So all this has evolved out of academic centers, academic cancer centers, and then further tested and brought on to real treatment of cancer.
That means, of course, that the field is ever evolving. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it's very rapidly changing field.
Okay, so now talk about the studies, what you do at WashU, how you prepare people, how you get them ready to be medical physicists, where, you know, what kinds of things they might do and so forth.
So if you have a physics degree, undergraduate physics degree, we recently started a master's in medical physics. You get admission, you are in medical master's in medical physics program, you would be exposed to imaging courses, like all the theoretical understanding of MRI imaging, ultrasounds, and how radiation, in fact, interacts with the tissue, radiobiology, because you need to really understand how radiation interacts with the biological tissue and what would happen. In addition to that, there is optimization. So if you have mathematical background, that is an asset, means you can take part in optimizing radiation treatment. I mean, optimization is a very, very growing field. It has so many applications. So with that physics background, you can take master's in medical physics. Once you are done with master's in medical physics, you then qualify to go for 2-year clinical residency where you shadow and perform work with MDs, nurses, radiation therapists, with patients, and see how the treatment has been actually standardized, because in hospital you don't do experiments. You have standardized way where all the safety and clinical aspects of treatment have been sorted out, and then you apply on a patient. So you go through a 2-year residency where you see how the radiation treatment is practiced, and then with your vast background in physics and understanding, you can, in fact, enhance and improve those treatments.
Then you have to take some exams. Are there some exams? And what board monitors all this?
Yes. So after 2-year residency, you qualify for to sit in American Board of Radiology exam. This is the same board which radiologists take exam, radiation oncologist means your cancer doctor take the exam, and your cancer physicist, the medical physics, we use the umbrella term, they take the exam at American Board of Radiology, and then they meet certain standard. Once you have that certain standard, you are open to work in any hospital.
Okay, so now just out of curiosity, let's say somebody's working on a master's and they think they're going to be a clinician, but their interest is piqued by development of new techniques and so forth, and they want to go on and instead become adept in developing new ideas and so forth, what would they do instead?
Means
PhD?
I would say PhD is the way, because PhD, in addition to those couple of courses, means we want this individual to be knowing all the clinical intricacies of treatment so that he knows what is doable, what would be applicable if he invents something, and what would not be. So, in fact, the clinical education would give him his bounds of application, how he is going to apply, because he can run imagination very wild. Just like in physics, we do simulations, and simulations can be as close to real scenario, but there are approximations, and some approximations are not really valid in clinical or practical scenarios. So that person should do, I would advise, do PhD in medical physics or PhD in physics with project which has direct clinical application. It doesn't need to be as such radiation treatment. It can be on any aspect, because there are other radiations such as ultrasound and high-intensity focus ultrasound is another growing area where people are using these focused ultrasound to treat the tumor. So these are different areas where someone can practice and get his PhD in physics. And then if they want to pursue clinical career, they can do a certificate in medical physics, which is again post-PhD certificate. Because you have a PhD in physics, you can do a certificate in medical physics, and you can take then the same pathway as a master's or PhD in medical physics would have taken.
Okay, very good. Talk some about your own program. So you say it's relatively new. What are your goals? Your goals are to put out medical physicists in clinical. Just discuss your broad goals at WashU.
Especially our radiation oncology department is very unique with lots of opportunities, and new technologies are being introduced and developed every single day, means to be honest. During last few years, we have in fact participated in developing MR-guided radiation therapy, and we were one of the first in world, means I'm not exaggerating, institution who was doing radiation treatment while we were imaging with the MR guidance. So that this is very, very new. So if there is something called cutting edge, so this is even more cutting edge.
Right.
So we developed MR guided radiation therapy, and now at this point, because there are questions to, we are sitting in clinic, we know what questions need to be answered, so we are moving forward on to addressing those questions. Especially one of the question that is recently being asked is flash, means these are all research questions, these are not out in patient treatment. Like, people have observed that if you give radiation dose at very, very, very super high rate, like in milliseconds, basically, you can avoid damage to normal tissue even more, and you can get more control over the disease. So, like radiation treatment in a flash. So there are machines being designed, invented, and tested. No one knows. This has been tested only in biological experiments where they have irradiated mouse and found out that there is no, in fact, memory loss, even though you have irradiated whole brain. in radiation treatment, we radiate whole brain and we observe that there is loss of memory in those patients. So I would say that is unfortunate side effect of radiation.
Sure.
So with flash and these technologies, once they are realized, so there is openings to work on these areas. Flash radiation therapy and WashU is the place along with all other major centers in the country.
So just out of curiosity, one of the things you mentioned earlier, of course, made complete sense. People have to know what can be done in a clinical setting before they go off on the wild goose chase in a research setting. So once you come up with a new idea, obviously that has to be vetted through FDA, presumably. And so do you then try to shop things around to industry, to corporations, because somebody's got to do the work to do clinical trials and all the other sorts of things to make sure that it can pass muster for safety reasons and so forth?
Exactly. Means any device that need to be used, that would be used on patient treatment, need to be vetted thoroughly and tested in different settings on individuals. So for MR-guided, for example, radiation therapy, once you invent, means it was already complicated, then simulation process, you would have patient data, you would use individual data, and you would compute radiation dose. Like, these are all simulations. Simulations are very, very advanced now at this stage. Especially in physics, we use something, I think all physicists are familiar with, Monte Carlo simulations. So Monte Carlo simulations, which were at some time just the privy of academic researchers are, who are sitting in physics department or national laboratories of physics, such as GANT4, all these are very sophisticated, dedicated tools that a physicist sitting in academic center or university settings or a national laboratory was using. Now these tools have moved on to cancer centers where we can do real mimic exactly the patient treatments with, in fact, the data, and then we can see all the what would happen as if when the patient would be treated. Okay. And then, of course, this thing is passed on to the industrial partners, and then they go through FDA clearance, or even if that has to be used in cancer, it is under very strict guidance or clinical protocols that you can use. But right. Of course, this MR-guided therapy is now the standard of care, thanks to hard work by lots of physicists around the world on this particular area.
Very interesting. As a final question, let's talk about the outlook. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, people would talk about medical physics and say, boy, everything's just great in this field. There's so much opportunity. So what does the opportunity look like right now?
Medical physics is still growing at a relatively rapid pace. What I would say means cancer is unfortunately a reality. It still is coming with whatever reasons, means everyone knows, whether this is lifestyle, genetic predisposition, or we are exposing more and more to newer ways of causing cancer. Anyways, so, and radiation therapy is still a viable way, which is used in at least 2/3 of the cancer patient. So those number of cancer patients are increasing, more cancer care is needed to cure those patients and take care of these individuals. So there is a continuous need for physicists in cancer clinic, and physicists in cancer clinics are now adapting to new realities where not only what we call these ionizing radiation, but other radiation such as hyperthermia and radiation. Means I'm again using a jargon of hyperthermia.
Sure.
Where you increase the temperature, simply you give like a temperature bath or sauna kind of environment.
Right.
For patient. But again, radiation biology, it's a mix of all these different interdisciplinary fields, because it's not just the physicist. It's, at the end of the day, it's the biology, how radiation interacts, how you can effectively kill the tumor more compared to what you were doing yesterday. So we are continue to chase that target.
As a final word, can you weigh in on this question? Would it be fair to say that if somebody were to get a master's in medical physics, they will likely be in an upper middle class setting as far as their wages and so forth? People get confused about this and they think people are going into some esoteric field for which there is little use. But these people will be compensated fairly for their expertise. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, this is quite accurate, I would rather say. There are two advantages of working in a cancer clinic. First of all, you have a first-hand look and understanding, and not only understanding, but also feeling of how you are involved in treatment of a cancer patient. And you cannot, I cannot describe the pleasure or that feeling when a patient, when he or she completes their treatment and they are cured of their disease and they are failing. So first reward for me in working in a cancer center is a useful part of the society I'm contributing to. So that's first and foremost. But again, of course, monetary-wise, it is a rewarding field. Once you are in clinical residency program, it is a paid residency. You are typically paid from $50,000 to $60,000, depends on where you are, per year. And a junior physicist is starting at a minimum from five figures, like 100,000 onward in a cancer clinic after you get the certification.
Okay. Well, people need to know that because, of course, many times people think, why would you go into physics? You'll be poor. And that just isn't true. Rao, thanks so much for stopping by and talking to us about all this today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And once again, this is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.